The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. Welcome to Web Radio, America's Web Radio, the best in the business. And you're listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark from New York. I'll tell you, every week you always wonder what else can go wrong. And I think after, it seems like it's been 50 years, but it's only been a few years since Joe Biden got elected. And the Democratic progressives have gone crazy, taken over America, and tried to basically disassemble every system that we've ever had. So, you know, you wonder, I'm going to talk a little bit today about the civil society. What's a civil society? We haven't had one of those in a couple of years. But before we do that, I'm going to break into my favorite part of the program, Rhyme Time, with Bite of Reality and Mark the Shark. In the land of stars and stripes so bold, a question arises, a tale to behold. Do we now vote for the most convictions so grand, or just for the most arrests in this now wacky land? A presidential race, oh, what a sight. Candidates trying to march both left and right. Promises ringing out like a huge circus tent. But wait, there's a twist. It's another odd event. Do we now vote in America, we ponder, for felony convictions, or for those who just off stage wander? The debates are wild, the issues absurd, as the candidates make nonsense noises, their promises all blurred. Now comes the first contender we hold, Mr. Clean Slate. No convictions to ponder, so far he's just feeling great. But wait, now there's a catch, an imminent arrest or two, for the evidence shows more than jaywalking. Oh, how the charges now grew. Arrests, not convictions, the people all shout. We want a leader who knows what reality we are in is about. The American crowd is divided, opinions all in strife, as they argue for days and debate stupid issues all through the night. Next step in a candidate, quite the sensation. With a record so long, it's a felonious foundation. Convictions galore, the headlines all scream, but the policies he promises were just for America a dream. Do we now vote, the billboards declare, for those with rap sheets or just the dumb blank stare? This country's in chaos from the wrong decisions. America's had enough. As they weigh all the options, using bad info, paycheck to paycheck, is just too tough. It comes a surprise, a candidate anew, with charisma and charm, a whole different view. No felonies here, just a traffic ticket for speeding. But listen to my plans and ideas, he says. They're all worth heeding. The American people start laughing. The tension unwinds as they realize the issue. This country's a mess of all kinds. Who do we now vote for? The Americans hesitantly yell and plea. For policy prowess or just a blank stare and a criminal spree? Soon the election day dawns. The time has arrived to choose a leader to finally take a side. But in the end, they decide whether convictions are the key. But policies and vision, we the people, shouldn't we be able to oversee? So remember this tale of felonies and fun, as the next race begins if America is actually done. Do we now vote in America? History will inquire. For this time we want the whole package, not just arrests and a fire. In a land where democracy's follies we used to archive, with twists and turns in our political corruption, this is just killing our lives. We search for a leader who's worthy and true. Maybe they will be free of both arrests, corruptions, and convictions, too. So seriously, is it a presidential election time or again lockdown somber chime? A tale of two contrasting realms, a rhythm, a rhyme. Let's try and explore this administration's curious reality and twist of fate as we try and navigate these waters of this, a very curious American state. Oh, the buzz now in the air and the fervent debate, as banners are raised in the billboards in the candidate states. Their proposed grand visions, their stated plans to run America aground, in the race for the Oval Office, where dreams of a president used to be profound. The campaign trails ablaze with rallies so grand, promising great changes across this vast land. Debates that spark and should ignite the night, as citizens choose who we will take the ultimate flight. The podiums gleam with each candidate's passionate plea, as people try to decide which idiot for president will we get sold. Who shall it be? Votes cast with hopes and ideals anew, for a leader to guide America back, and again for the people to dare and pursue. But wait, what's that sound, that uproar and cheer? Is it time for the lockdown's presence again to appear? Hush again descends upon the bustling street. As the news spreads wide, a deadline before election, the lockdown shall meet. A virus unseen, another variant of the invisible foe, sends us indoors, our word a bit more crazy, mandated by Joe. Real election fervor now takes a pause. As we trade our cheers for masks, there can be no flaws. Keep away from me, social distance becomes the new norm. Handshakes and hugs disappear again, so we must reform. Zoom becomes the stage for any candidate so bold. Here we go again, virtual campaigns, from the basement media stories to be told. Hustling now in a pixelated grace, as we adapt again to this failed, unprecedented space. The vote must still loom large amidst all the concern, but safety and health, a lesson we still have to learn. Is it because of the presidential election or lockdown's progressive correction? A complex dance of reflection and misdirection. Two worlds of vision collide in a curious blend. As history unfolds, who's really controlling this country? With twists do transcend. The ballots they claim are counted, the outcome unknown, as we juggle our roles in this world, where some governments are overthrown. Can leaders emerge in this dualistic quest? Navigating to U.S. challenges, putting the people's fears to rest. Whether it's politics or pandemics that put us in a bind, in our unity was our strength, and always rational solutions we would find. For as our time marches on, we would rise to the call. Through recent elections and lockdowns, we no longer as America stand tall. Should we embrace this crazy change in whatever form? Elections or lockdowns, will we again be able to the weather the storm? For if not by bound by resilience, there's no hand in hand. In this intricate dance of reality, we together are supposed to stand. So COVID is back, it's another wild scene. A sequel we didn't ask for, but it's here it seems. Masks in the closet long forgotten and stored. Now we're debating to break out the masks or just to ignore. The virus returns in another variant form with a mischievous grin. Another roller coaster ride we're may be forced to be in. Joe said it was over, apparently another lie, just a thing in the past. But here we are again, facing the freaking incompetence of another blast. To mask or not to mask, that's now the question. A nationwide debate causing quite the sensation. Some wear masks like it's a fashion show, matching outfits with their masks on from head to toe. Others resist from last time feeling a bit defiant, saying no more masks, we're tired, and no more being blindly compliant. But they wheeled out the old claimed experts, and they chime in with a curious plea. Put on your masks again, they demand. It's the way to be free. A wild mask carnival, it's quite the sight. Faces all covered, all facial expressions, now again out of sight. Eyes become storytellers, eyebrows, now again the only star. As we navigate this world of pseudoscience, hey, let's appoint another czar. Zoom calls and meetings, the only contact, a digital trend. Half our face is hidden. It gets harder to pretend. But amidst all the chaos, nothing sane is being said. And this really stings as we embrace again the absurdity, the fool mask-wearing things. So here we are in this comical scene. COVID's encore. A repeat, it seems everyone's predicted. It wasn't for unforeseen. To mask or not to mask, the debate certainly will carry on. As we get lost in this adventure, masked and still not strong. In this presidential nation, a curious sensation. Biden's on perpetual vacation. The same beach, a frequent destination. From the White House to the beach, he's always roams. Leaving some folks wondering, where did he get the money to buy those million-dollar homes? Joe's got his shades on and he's sipping lemonade. Chilling on the sand, no crisis he recognizes in America. No worries to evade. Is he ever working? Some might jest. As he lounges and relaxes on the perpetual vacation's quest. In this presidential nation, some say with glee, Biden's on vacation. Can't mess up our nation while he's gone, you see. With a chuckle and a grin, they make their valid point. Perhaps a lighthearted jab with the facts. It won't disappoint. As Joel strolls by the ocean, his beach chair and toes stuck in the sand, they jest. No executive orders. He can't write with a sippy cup in one hand. A reprieve from his drama, the dumb policy debates. Maybe Joe's permanent vacation, just what America needs. It is what it takes. But is presidential nation, let's not forget, leadership's a balance with challenges to be met. Vacation or not, the task of running a country still remain. Joe's been steering the ship from Trump sunshine, and now it's in pouring rain. While humor's a friend and satire's a muse, the nation's business isn't one to abuse. So let's get back to the middle so that our sense of duty again will shine. We continue to confuse stupidity with a perfectly good plan. Time to realign. In this presidential nation, the journey still unfolds with long vacation moments and bribery stories yet untold. But remember, my friend, leadership's never a vacation. It's a constant endeavor to keep the chaos under control for the entire nation. Amidst the waves that where the seagulls soar, a question lingers. Oh, what's in store? A president on the beach, so serene. Or one in a mugshot, not quite the scene. On sandy shores, the president stands, sun-kissed glow and shades in his hands. But let's not forget, while the sea breeze blows, leadership's just not about sandy toes. Mugshot moments, oh, what a sight. A president entangled in a legal, political, bogus fight. The flash of the camera, a public glare, it's not quite the image in America one wants to bear. The world is laughing at America as we continue to pay the world's bills. It seems so simple. Get back to reality. Too many wars. The population, it does kill. But can we pursue for a chuckle and make a humorous jest? Which view of the president? What untrue told story is truly the best? On the beach he's chilling, but America's going down in flames. A mugshot, well, a legal bind. Biden on Trump. Blame it on Trump. Everything wrong he blames. A president on the beach sleeping waves at his side represents his retirement, leisure, a claim he should make the permanent stride. Yet governance matters, decisions he does need to make. Don't lie and say you're too busy. To East Palestine, the toxic, your word you break. In a mugshot's frame, it's a legal fiasco, with America's public relations taking a drastic blow. It's political tyranny for anyone with a brain to see. The lamestream media with the lies they spread to the public. It's not true to me. Is there any hope for a president who steers the ship right? In the Oval Office, not just on vacations, delight. Smart policies and wisdom must be quite true. When you're leading a nation to disaster, not just being at the beach with water so blue. So we must get a leader with real wisdom and poise, who's up to the task and who knows when good policies to deploy. In the end, it's the actions of the electorate that truly define a president's legacy and whether after the election we will have the right to whine. So whether it's a beach and lack of competency or indictments in a legal plot, a president's worth and value is in what he does for we the people in this reality that we got. Remember, they called him the great uniter, oh so grand, a leader to unite everyone in the entire land. But as time went on, this story took quite a turn. His unity promise, an ember never lit to burn. With every speech and political maneuver, the nation seemed to have itself chosen an abuser. The great uniter, or so we believed, but in practice, it's not what's even close to being achieved. A full-time divider with every step, leaving the alleged unity plans again being completely inept. From left to right, a constant divide, each side with grievances, not even listening to the other side. Dumb policies pushed with fervor and zest, but unity's dream, just a fleeting quest. And that's no joke, he says, the truth is clear. The great uniter's path is still a bit queer. Instead of bringing folks together as one, the division's deepened, like a marathon run. So let's learn from this tale of a half-wit. The leadership's not about a catchy slogan. The job you must fit. Actions speak louder than words alone ever could. A true United's legacy in histories will be written, banning pizza ovens with wood. In the end, we need to choose leader so keen, with a strong sense of reality, and can navigate the stupidity even in between. For a United Nation strong and true, not just a punchline, but a dream to be pursued. Rhyme Time takes reality and tries to give you the news. I understand that sometimes you may not always agree with all of my views, but I'll stick to the truth and let you digest the facts. I'll give you the dumbass moves of the parties this week so you can judge their acts. It's always my intentions to give you critical things to think about. I give you the straight facts of that you can have no doubt. It's my opinions they are espoused. That's my show prerogative. But when you get a competent president this time, the show may turn positive. Rhyme Time's journey for this week has come to its natural end. We endeavored to give you the truth. So that's what's happening, so you can comprehend. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'll tell you, it never ceases to amaze me how every single week that things can go so wrong from last week. It just is, you would think at some point somebody would turn around to, listen, Joe Biden's not running anything. I understand that. He could stay at the beach the rest of the years he's got there. Hopefully only another one or two. That's it, if he makes it. But here's the quandary, folks. What do we do? What do we do? They've already tarred and feathered Trump. I'm convinced of that. In a general election, no matter what the polls are showing, unless Biden continues his obliteration of America, which is very likely. I mean, he just canceled 7 leases for oil and gas drilling, sending, of course, some more money to Putin. I mean, he's basically, just think about this. He's basically bankrolling Putin. I was thinking about this last night. By pushing gas up, gas and oil to 82 and up, it's going to go to $90 a barrel, without a doubt. That's going to give Putin a ton of money to buy now ammunition from North Korea. Great job, Joe. Great job on the world stage. You know,
Mark,
if the guy understood what was going on in his own bedroom and his own house, I could understand that. Remember Cocaine Gate? Yeah. If he knew what was going on in his own house, we might have a chance of him understanding what's going on in the world. But I got to tell you, I'm upset with the Democratic leadership who are actually running the country because they should know better. They have a brainless fool in the White House, somebody who basically can be led around by a leash, a nose ring, anything. He got pushed around by the Easter Bunny. He could be led around, and they're doing it. But the progressives have taken over. And I got to tell you, I hate to disagree with the main... Well, actually, I don't hate. I really do. The fact that Biden's been on vacation 23 or 30 days, despite what's going on in Lahaina, Maui, he spent 6 hours there. It's a travesty, folks. An absolute travesty. You know, this is the president of the United States. He's supposed to be that empathetic, not pathetic. Maybe they got that. Maybe they redefined the word. I don't know. Another one of those redefinitions from the Democratic Dictionary. But I hate to disagree with the media. The problem is not Joe Biden's age. You got to stop saying that. You got to stop saying that. America, even the Republicans, even the conservative newspapers and media, stop saying it's his age. It's not his age. I know people who are 97 years old who are more competent than I am. That's not hard to do. Yes, I'm self-deprecating. But the problem is, it's his incompetency, his mental defect, his mental deficiencies, his deficiencies in performance. It's not his age. It's the blatant fact that he cannot handle the job. And focus on that. Don't put it on age, because you know what? You're going to wind up ticking off a lot of older people. Because age doesn't matter. Age is a number. It's mental competency. And when you have a defect like he has, he doesn't have all his marbles. I understand that. I see that every day. However, we weren't told that at the beginning. But, you know, did I ever expect the mainstream media to give me the straight poop? Never. They're giving me poop, but it's not the straight poop. So this was, unfortunately, the anniversary was 2 years since the end of August. We didn't do a show last week because it was a holiday weekend, and they gave me off. Wow. I wonder if I'm still getting paid, even though I get off for that day. I got to talk to the station manager.
You know, but the station manager is going to talk to you for a second, okay?
Go ahead.
I guess I've never been so nationally devastated as I was Thursday when one of our hosts came back from Europe and had spent the last few days in Scotland and came back and was telling me the story of almost anybody that he met or played golf with or did whatever, the same question came up. What's happening in the United States? What are you all doing over there? Why can't you stop this guy, Biden? Well, you know, we look to America as our leader, and we don't have a leader anymore. That was, to me, the most devastating blow that I could have heard. That, you know, I can remember, even as a little bitty kid, first, second, third grade, being so proud to be an American. Everybody looked up to us. Everybody looked at our flag and knew that America, the United States of America, was the greatest country in the world. Now every country is laughing at us. I can't take
that. Because we got a buffoon in the White House.
I know. And he's surrounded by the rest of the merry pack, and I mean that sincerely. You get that many $3 bills in a room, and you can't come up with a good $1 bill. And I can't stand the fact that my country, led by this baboon and his merry group of whatever there are, transgenders or whatever, are leading our country into devastation.
Here's what really chafed my butt this week. I saw a news conference by Sabrina Singh, of the Pentagon deputy spokesperson. How many people do we have at the top? If this was a building, it would fall over. We got so many people at the top. There's nobody doing anything. Everybody's at the top of something. But she comes out and somehow tried to explain the absolute blatant apparent failure of command from the Pentagon all the way down to the staff making decisions on the ground. And when that sniper had that bomber in his sights and wasn't given permission to fire on him, the fact that she made decisions, or she tried to justify the decisions that were being made when 13 heroes were killed for absolutely no reason, was baffling to me. A blatant affront to America. How they can sit there with a straight face and lie out of both sides of that face to the American people regarding the chaotic and despicable pullout and surrender of Afghanistan is bizarre to me. They stood there and they said that went according to plan. Well, who came up with this plan should have been fired 2 years ago, 10 minutes after. And I got to tell you, I am a little, and I never pick on the veterans, but I am very disappointed in the leadership of the military. Because in the old days, when you disagreed with your civil commander, remember, Biden's the commander-in-chief, because that's the way this country was set up, to have a civil leader of the army. Not an incompetent leader, but we have civil. As a general, you would have said, "Sir, I respectfully disagree with your assessment, and I resign." And they would have turned in their stars. They would have stood by their men and stood for their men. That's what a general does. That's what leadership does. And we've lost that in this country. From the incompetence of the top leadership, no one was ever terminated. No one was ever reprimanded. I don't get it. How does this happen? You gave up one of the most strategic and secure bases, Bagram, in Afghanistan. Now we have no eyes and ears in that region, by the way, and I can't wait to see what that brings to America. Although 7 million illegal people coming across the border, we don't even know how many are here already. And again, they're patient. They play the long game. They only need to be right once. We need to be right every time to stop them. But she stood there, and this imbecile who did not give the sniper the green light to fire and take out that bomber before he detonated that vest, he's still in command. He's still in command. That is pathetic, America. That is pathetic. And everybody in this country should be demanding that heads roll. You know, we used to have a saying in this country, heads will roll. Now it's idiots get promoted. And by the way, let me give a round of applause to, I think it's Tommy Tuberville or Tuberville, who is stopping up the promotion of approximately 300 military idiots at the top. Why is he doing that? Because he wants accountability? Because he wants abortion out of the military? Because he wants some kind of sanity plan? And now, the Republicans are sitting back. They're not jumping on board with him, which is, again, another bunch of defective Republicans. But the Democrats are blaming him for, oh, my God, we're jeopardizing and helping China. Let me just tell you something. The military leadership in this country right now is helping China on their own. We don't need any more promotions. They're doing a great job helping Xi Jinping. And the rest of the world is forming the alliance. You're going to see North Korea, Iran, Russia, and China form the alliance against America. And America, remember we talked about decoupling from China and how to start making things here and how we were going to bring jobs back? Well, that got tossed out the window as soon as Trump was out of office. Biden, all of a sudden, is buddy-buddies with China. But then I guess, you know what, if I'm making a couple of $100 million a year or whatever it is that he's sliding in through his backdoor channels of the Hunter, well, I guess that's all okay. You know, listen, we know what's going on. We see what's going on. And we're doing nothing about what's going on. And that's the problem. There are 13 dead Americans that were murdered under the Biden administration by incompetency in our military commanders. And yet not one of them was held accountable. Not one. Why? How dare they stand there and tell 13 Gold Star families, sorry, we gave everything we could. What was the word? They used the best information they had at the time. Well, you know what? If that's the best information that you had at the time, then you need to get different information. But hey, apparently, without any back talk from the lapdog media, that's fine. The lamestream media takes it and just shovels it right out onto the air. They disassemble truth. Doesn't matter. Truth doesn't matter anymore. They serve zero purposes these days. The media was originally set up to be the people's watchdog. Now, they are the DNC lapdogs. That's ridiculous. It should infuriate every single American. Every single American. It must infuriate you. And if not, honestly, I think there's something wrong with you. When somebody sacrifices their child without any particular purpose at all, and absolutely no one is held responsible for killing them, that's disgusting to me. I'm sorry. That's my feelings. That's my opinion. And I hope that a lot more Americans have that same opinion.
And I got to add to it. What's happening with the VA right now is deplorable. It's worse than deplorable. And every veteran should protest what the VA is doing. We've got a guy that's leading, that's in charge of the VA, that's so incompetent he can't tie his own shoes. He's had no experience in management. He's not in medicine. He's never been in medicine. He has no clue what he's doing at the VA other than he's killing veterans. And that's when a veteran or when an individual raises his hand and signs a contract to serve his country, the country raises their hand and says, we will serve you and we will take care of you. Well, rest assured, folks, the VA is not taking care of veterans, not to the promise that they said they would.
Not even close.
No, you're right, not even close. And they promised things like dental care, oral health care, full body care, and somehow the VA has determined that your mouth isn't part of your body, so they're not obligated to take care of it.
Well, just look at something for a second. Let me just jump in for a second. You have an organization called Tunnel to Towers, okay, which builds homes, which gives a lot of support, pays off mortgages of veterans who have been injured and first responders. Everything I see about that organization is phenomenal. It was started by Mr. Siller. His brother was killed at 9/11. But I got to tell you something. I got to tell you what irritates the living daylights out of me. In this country, we just spent $130 billion in Ukraine. Why has not every one of our injured veterans been taken care of? A house specially built for them. Why don't we do that? Why aren't we doing that? That's the promise that we made. Protect America, and America will protect you and take care of your family. And we have failed miserably under the Biden administration, under the Trump administration, and unfortunately, I got to tell you, under the Obama administration just as well. They all talk a great game. They all say they're going to do something. It's just ridiculous. Set aside $100 billion. You just paid it out to Ukraine. Pay it out. Give it to the veterans. Great houses.
How about these pieces of garbage that are crossing our border, and all of a sudden they get Medicare, they get all of their care taken care of, they get their shots, they're bringing more disease into the United States than we've had in hundreds of years. And
media, I was going to hit that a little later.
The mainstream
media, but I got to tell you, here we go.
Isn't even starting to say anything about it. And we're
going to bring this to the forefront. Our genius mayor, our genius bar, he must have been a member of the genius bar somewhere along the line. But from my information, he was a house mouse, they used to call him. That was his kind of nickname. It's because he never really went out on patrol. He liked to stay at the precinct. It was safer.
Oh, you're talking about the New York mayor?
Yeah. He thinks he's the mayor. I don't know what he's running. He's running something into the ground, and it looks like it's the city. But this guy, I just was amazed at the statements that come out of his mouth, the outrageous statements that come out of his mouth. He this week, oh, my God, there's so much junk that came out of his mouth, I swear. I thought maybe they turned him upside down and his butt was talking. But he's the runner-up this week for the Dumbass Award. He's number two on the parade behind Biden this week. So he gets a runner-up also for the Pinocchio Award, right behind Biden. So he claims that the migrant crisis in New York City, by the way, at 110,000 illegal invaders right now in New York City. But for some perspective, let me give you a little perspective on that, is there are 170,000 invaders that came into the border, came across the border. Those are the ones we know about last month. 170,000. That's over almost 7 million people who have come into this country under Biden. And this moron, Mayor Adams, is yelling about 110,000 and blaming it on Governor Abbott. Now, let me give this guy some facts, because obviously he doesn't have an occasion to look at the facts. He's too busy out partying with the big guys. So he blamed Governor Abbott for the tragedy that's going on in New York City that's going to kill the city. No, the only thing that's killing the city is the Mayor Adams. That's the death blow. That is the death blow. But here you go, Mayor Adams, because apparently you must have been a product of the New York City schools, because you can't do math, and obviously you can't read newspapers either. Governor Abbott sent up 13,000, it's 13,100 to 300 of illegal invaders from his state to New York City. Now, taking 110,000, minusing out 13,000 and let's say 300, that's only 12%, Mayor Adams. That's not 110,000. That maybe in New York City's mathematics classes, 13,300 is equal to 110,000. Well, in reality, it's not. So Why don't you call it out? Why don't you say what the problem is? No, you won't, because you're a liar. You're a garbage liar. You're just exactly who New York voted for, some dumbass to be in a seat. Because when you can stand there and tell us that this 110,000 illegal invaders that are now in New York City is the product of Texas from Governor Abbott, when only 12% were from Governor Abbott. And before that, by the way, you were fine. You were a sanctuary city. We're open, open arms. Send us everybody. Well, now you got everybody. Now you got 110,000 everybody. And by the way, this week, New York City started school. Yes, school children. Guess what? Americans, if your children are not vaccinated, they can't go to school in New York City. But if you are a no-named illegal invader whose your first act in America was to break our laws and commit a felony, you can go to school, no problem, no questions asked. We don't even know who these people are. We don't even know where they're from. They have no paperwork. So now they have 30 days to be in school. Now, we were in an incompetent school before in New York City. Our pass rates are like 13%. Our literacy rates are like 20%. I mean, think about that. If you only did 20% of your job and got only 20% of your pay, but these people in the city, hope is not a plan. Hope is not a plan. Saying you're a sanctuary city was great, was fabulous. Now all of a sudden reality just hit you in the face. And now what do you do? You have 21,000 students now from countries all over the world, don't speak English. We're not even sure in some cases what language they speak because we can't communicate with them. But now they're taking American students and putting them aside. I got to tell you something, and please don't take this the wrong way. I am not a bigot. I'm not a nasty guy. But for the last 100 years, blacks in this country have fought for equal treatment and to be at the front of the bus. And for us to now be taking minorities and sticking them in the back of the bus and sticking them in the back and out of the way so that we can give non-citizens who are here illegally preferential treatment is absolutely disgusting. Do you know they took away these people's soccer fields and the people of the city's places of the parks, and they set up illegal alien villages? Invaders they are. They're invaders because you know what? They're not producing anything. And I got to tell you, I heard some very disturbing news about people who were able-bodied who sought to get work permits. There's only about 12 or 14 or 15%. I heard numbers sometimes as high as 20%. That number apparently no one can figure out because they... all these people wanted to come here, right? Because they're asylum seekers? What asylum? They're sitting there. They get Xboxes. They get free telephones. They get culturally appropriate foods. Okay? I don't even get culturally appropriate foods. You ever been to the supermarket lately? Yeah, you better bring your piggy bank and your banker when you check out because you're going to need it. Everything's up 20, 30%. We're not even talking about utilities. How are we, the people, going to afford to absorb 7 million people into the United States paying for them? It's not going to happen, folks. But that's maybe their ploy. That's what they want. These brainless fools of the administration, they're a bunch of morons. They destroyed the strategic reserves in oil and gas before the election in order to keep that price down. Because you know what? People, the pain at the pump, they wake up. They say, wait a second, I just filled up my car. That's $70. That's a third or a quarter of my paycheck this week. Holy moly, wait a second. But what did he do right before the election? I'm giving everybody student loan forgiveness. Let's do it. He knew it was illegal. And you fell for it, America. You fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And then what did he do? He drained the strategic reserves to keep the price down artificially right before the election. And guess what? Before this idiot took office, it was $2 a gallon. Now I just paid $4.25 yesterday. $4.25. Don't tell me this is a global problem, people. And I have people out there who say this is a global issue. No, global supply issue. Please get your facts right. If America is producing enough energy to be energy independent, the price of the barrel of oil drops like a rock. Before I went to law school, I did some oil and gas. I worked for a company. They did a lot of investments in oil and gas drilling. I can tell you this much. It's simple mathematics. You have oil down around $40 a barrel with America booming in the oil production business. You stop the Ukrainian war in its tracks. You know one of those little stupid missiles that they're firing into the apartment buildings in Ukraine costs? $1 million. When oil's at $80 and $90 a barrel, and I know our station manager's not happy about what I'm saying, but when it's at $80, $90 a barrel, your funding is war. We're paying for one side and then giving them the money for the other side. How stupid are we? This is the dumbest government I have ever seen in my lifetime. And I've been here more than 50 years on this planet. So, Mayor Adams, kudos for you for not having a brainstem. You know, maybe you should get the people who work for you to get the crap out of your mouth before you talk. Because you're a bumbling nincompoop when you talk like that. You make yourself look like an idiot. Where are all those fact checkers, by the way? Where are all... Actually, I think he lost the New York Times. He lost the New York Times at that point. You cannot have a plan without a plan. It doesn't make itself up. You can't take in this many people and have them in this country. It's going to wind up costing billions. Billions that the city doesn't have. Why do you think the companies and the people are fleeing? Because it's out of control. Crime is out of control. Businesses are closing. Taxes are going up. The city's going to be hollowed out. It's going to be like Detroit in another year with this guy. It's over. I don't think we're coming back. And by the way, here's another juicy tidbit for you guys. Remember during the Black Lives Matter riots, how the cops went and tried to stop people from looting, destroying businesses, costing billions of dollars for the city? Well, guess what just happened? The city settled with these protesters. They gave them a check for $21,000 apiece for the protesters who were beating up the city against the cops. They got sued, and the city settled. $21,000 apiece for looters, rioters, because they were protesting. Because what they were done was what they call kettling, whereas they boxed them in so they can't destroy the city. So now, Mayor Adams, this knucklehead, comes out and says, this is great. It'll help New York City PD. Is he an imbecile? Did he not ever understand what the function of a cop is? It's to prevent crime, not to facilitate it. Maybe this is the problem. Maybe they don't have that knowledge yet. Well, let me tell you something. Here you go. We have a new entry. I heard it this morning, and this is going to be great. You're going to love this, folks. This is great. Seattle. Seattle was a beautiful city. I had been there. It was an amazing city. I'd been there 20 years ago. They have turned it into a giant toilet bowl. So here's one of the people who were yelling about defund the police with the genius bar member, Ilhan Omar. Shavanti Sehanandan. Let's see. It's Sehanandan. That's it. Sehanandan. So Shavanti, who's the apparently second in charge of the Democratic Party out there, she, this is great, got the living bananas kicked out of her. We're going to take a short break right now, and then we're going to come back with that story. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is one for the history books. Stand by.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at AmericasWebRadio.com. or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with America's Web Radio. You're listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. And I got to tell you, if you have not caught the On Point show with Victor, you have to get there. You have to get there. It's on Tuesday. I believe it's at 1. And it is an analysis of politics that you will find fascinating. He's got the pulse of the political scene. But let me get back to this Shivanti Sahanandan. She is the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party second in command. She is one of the Ilhan Omar ilk who was yelling to defund the police, get rid of and abolish the police. And some of the quotes that she had posted in her Facebook account and on her Twitter tweets was, get rid of the police, they're horrible, they're killing our society, we need to get rid of them. Well, guess what happened? In the great words of Reverend Wright, Obama's favorite preacher, the chickens have come home to roost. Just another genius of the Democratic Law Party. Here we go. So in Seattle, Minnesota, just like the moron, the brainless fool Ilhan Omar, who kept yelling, defund those police, get rid of them, they're horrible. Now they have a huge problem of police. Their crime is through the roof. It's one of the most violent and devastating cities out there. But here we go. For 3 years now, since the George Floyd riots, she has been destroying her city. She's been destroying the city. So these elected adults, too dumb and too ideological to get a glimpse of reality until it happens to them. They don't give a crap about you, America. They don't care because they're insulated from this stuff. So here's what happens. Here's the biggest. This is, and I'm laughing about it because you know what? Karma is something that comes around, but it comes around sometimes really slow. But I guess this is what we needed to have. So here's what happens. Apparently, she gets carjacked this weekend and gets the living crap beat out of her. And a broken leg, bashed in face, and she posts some pictures of, oh, her bloody face. Oh, so sad to hear of that, isn't it? Oh, so sad. Well, now, listen to this. You're not going to believe it. I know it sounds ridiculous, but here we go. Now, it takes something like this to beat the crap out of her and break her leg for her now to call for juveniles to be held. Wait, ready for this? Listen carefully. For juveniles to be held accountable and put in jail for their crimes. Yes, I did say that, and now she said it. This was, I couldn't stop laughing. I know it's, listen, it's a serious situation. But you know what? Maybe that's what they need to do. So during this carjacking, she had her leg broken and her face bashed in. Gee, keep being lenient on your radical policies. Keep being lenient on your quote-unquote juvenile people who are just out there. They're not mobs of people, as they say in Chicago. They're just a large gathering. So a large gathering of four armed individuals beat the living crap out of her, broke her leg, and stole her car. Now, wow, she's had a change of heart. She's had a change of heart. Now she wants them held accountable. Wow, what a change. Maybe we should beat the living daylights out of all the Democratic people who say to abolish the police, defund the police. But you know what? I'm only kidding. Because we here don't advocate violence. Violence is not the answer. Okay? We want to stop the violence at Bite of Reality. But with people like this in charge, can you see why I'm angry and annoyed? Can you see why I'm upset? Because she didn't care about the thousands of people who have been mugged, robbed, raped, shot, killed in her district until it happened to her. Before that, it's all get rid of the police. No problem. We don't care. The police don't belong here. The police are the problem. Well, guess what? She called the police after she got the living you-know-what beat out of her. There you go. Well, you know what? Karma is coming around. Because let me tell you something. You know, as a public service message, I know we're getting towards the end of the show. I did want to give a shout out to Joe Biden. Joe, If you need directions to East Palestine, Ohio, give me a call. I will direct you there, and if you can't get there, I'll come pick you up. I have an SUV, you and Jill, Dr. Jill. Actually, Dr. Jill, we're going to leave it home because she's got the COVID again. Keep wearing your mask in your hand. So I will give you directions to East Palestine because, you know what, February 3rd, 2023, it's only 216 days since the toxic train derailment, and you said you're going to be there. You know, what a crock of spit. Just another lie to the American people. I guess you're too busy on the beach figuring out how to ruin the rest of the country. But here we go. I wanted to also give a shout-out to Happy Labor Day in Chicago. And it was great. Chicago's Labor Day was fantastic with your new progressive mayor. Only 9 killed, dozen shot. Congratulations, Chicago. Let me make a choice recommendation to you. Buy some more body bags. And at some point, maybe you, like that woman in Minnesota, that elected official, will wake up when somebody beats the living daylights out of you and say, wait a second, these policies aren't working. But that's okay. It'll come around. It'll be there soon because the mouse in the house is getting out. So, Joe, call me. I got this for you. Okay? It's an easy, you know, from Washington, it's an easy drive. In fact, wait a second. That's right. You and Hunter can jump on, you know, the presidential flight. Take Air Force One or even two if you don't want to be too conspicuous. You can take one and two. And you can just hop over there a couple hours, six hours, fall off the stage, trip over a sandbag, and then everybody will say, hey, look, he went. But like I said, call me or the Secret Service can give me a call. I'll give them directions to East Palestine. Not a problem. So this week, again, Joe Biden helped out Russia and China and North Korea and certainly Iran. He canceled 7 leases in Alaska for drilling rights. Brilliant decision. Destroy our strategic reserve. You drained it right before the election, and now you just canceled 7 leases, which could potentially produce hundreds of millions of barrels. But you know what? Great job, Joe. Because you know what? When we're sitting there trying to burn wax with our candles because we can't afford our electric and we can't afford our water and our utilities, oil, this I'll tell you something. People are going to be keeping their house at 40 degrees this winter under Joe Biden's administration. And you know what? He doesn't give a darn because his White House is going to be at 85 because this old fool needs a nice warm temperature. But that doesn't affect him, just like the person, the legislature from the DFL in Minnesota. Doesn't affect me, so I don't care. The rest of you, you get robbed, raped, you're carjacked, who cares? Until it happens to them. So then we got, this is great. I wanted to talk about this briefly because it came to an effect that this week, and I think it's going to take place a lot more now, what's going to happen. You now have the Democrats realizing, but now out loud admitting that Joe Biden is not competent to run this country. And I guess the people who are running it behind the scenes are getting tired. Because now, here's the thing, watch. Now the fact that Trump and a lot of the other Republican nominees or candidates, whatever you want to call them at this point, are challenging Joe Biden, and these polls are coming out that Biden loses to almost every one of them. And listen, I got to tell you, when you lose to Chris Christie in a head-to-head national poll, you have hit the bottom. You have hit the bottom. In fact, you may have gone through the bottom when you're losing to Chris Christie in a head-to-head poll for election. So what they've realized is Joe Biden's now done. So now what are they going to do? Now they're going to push him out. You watch. All of a sudden, all the last 2.5 years, Joe Biden was the golden child. Couldn't be touched for anything. Nothing was his fault. It was always Donald Trump's fault. Doesn't matter if it was Biden's policy. The border, they're blaming on Trump. The border crisis, they're blaming on Trump. It's like the first day this idiot was in office, he ripped out all the policies that were working to stop the influx and the invasion and the drugs and the sex trafficking, but Biden ripped it out, and now it's still Trump's fault. So, listen, a little in touch with reality is where they need to be. But here's what they're going to do now. Watch what, and mark my words. They are going to get rid of Joe Biden. Who they bring in next, I'm not sure. Is it Gavin Newsom? His record in California would destroy him. But how do they figure out how to push Kamala out? Because Kamala has less like numbers than Joe Biden. I find that hard to believe. When you're 39%, it's tough to go below that. But Kamala is less likely to get anywhere as president or as a candidate for president. So now they're stuck. Now they have a broken system. But I think the Dems are going to successfully destroy Biden now. You know, they appointed David Weiss inexcusably as part of the Justice Department. An independent counsel cannot be chosen. Yet for some strategic reason, Merrick Garland chose him as the special counsel who, after 5 years of investigating Hunter Biden and his potential connection to Joe Biden, because quite frankly, I don't care what Hunter did. I want to know what Joe did. I want to know how Joe benefited. I want to know if he was committing bribery. What's the story? Well, after 5 years of investigating and lots of statute of limitations expiring on the more serious crimes for Hunter, they appointed him special counsel. Why did they do that? They did that to shut down the congressional, the whole investigation. It's ridiculous. So watch that carefully this week, because it's going to start to develop again. So now we have, you know, jumping back, I just can't believe that January 6th protesters are getting 20 years in jail when criminals who commit murder, kill another person during the BLM riots got 12 years. A guy who got, he wasn't even in Washington. He got 20 years in federal penitentiary. And the guy who kills someone gets 12 years. Tell me, there's not a double standard of justice. There's no standard of justice. There is no justice. Stop saying double standard. There's no two tiers. It's broken, it's done, it's finished. There are no tiers of justice when they are not applied equally to everybody. End of story. So just because a guy is wearing a red sweater doesn't mean he gets an extra 10 years to the guy who's wearing the blue sweater. Doesn't matter. You know, we put this country in a hole. And like Mark Wahlberg said in that movie, you know, Deepwater Horizon, hope is not a plan. But I got to tell you, the breakdown of society is upon us. Society right now is dying. It's not a civil society. And we better wake up America. As we come to the end of the program here with Bite of Reality, Mark the Shark, pay attention. Help your society. Don't walk away. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. We're out.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.